Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Red Men Radio number 35.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had some confusion last week. We had two rival competing forces who decided to work out what number we were up to. The horse that I backed, wrong. He's since got back to us to say, oh yeah, I made a mistake.
Wow.
So this is officially the 35th.
At least he did his second lot of working out and got us the ultimately correct answer.
So it turns out that, yeah, that, as was mentioned in the podcast last week, that there was a slight flaw in the algorithm, as it were. But yeah, that's irrelevant now. Here we are, the 35th edition. It's actually, what's annoying, this isn't our 35th podcast, because we've had fits and starts in the past, where we've had 4s and 8s and 12s and stuff.
Where they're not even called podcasts as
probably
well.
Probably not, yeah, on different formats. And so yeah, it's fine. But for the sake of argument, we will only
number
start...
Number one.
Number one. Let's just clean slate. We'll do what like comic book companies do when they go back to new issue number ones, and then whenever we feel like we're getting close to a milestone, we'll get someone to go and add up all those crappy little ones we made. Yeah. So when we're up to like 100 or 500 or something, we'll go the Action Comics route, as it were. Nice. As you can tell then, ladies and gentlemen, joining me this week is Mr. Tom Dutton, the husky-voiced hero himself.
So apologies in advance, but I sang my heart out at the game. Because you meant to, and then the next day my voice was completely gone. I couldn't say a word. Yeah. Genuinely, I had no like lower tones in my voice.
It was quite funny, which is mad because I thought you put an excellent effort into the Instant Match Reaction podcast.
At that point, it hadn't. Probably, I think it might have been
Tight hamstring with like 15 minutes to go, isn't it? And just pushing through, and you put yourself off for 3 months there.
I think it was the hysterical crying once I got into my house that ultimately did it. But no.
Right, we've got a question to kick us off then from Liam at Unstoppable SGT. In fact, we've got two kickoff questions this week, Tom, because Derby next week.
Yeah.
Everton in terrible form at the moment. Yep. Managerial appointment looming. It was a great chance to stick the boot in without having to handle all the pre-match nerves that will come with next week's podcast.
Definitely.
So we start off with Liam, who asks, would you rather Everton win at Anfield but end up going down, or we beat them 5-0 but they eventually stay up?
Always the second one. I always want to beat Everton, and I always want them to be there to be beaten.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Everton go down, if I'm honest with you. I enjoy the...
There's a chance a team might come up that we struggle to beat.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I enjoy the friendly rivalry. It's not friendly on the day, obviously, but I enjoy the fact that I've got family members who I can give shit to, and they can give shit back to me. I like the fact that I don't have any ill will towards them. I've got a lot of stick off Liverpool fans for having this opinion.
Yeah.
I want Everton to do well. Obviously, not as well as us.
Absolutely.
But I want them to have a good run in things, yeah. Get to quarters and go out. You know, that's fine.
Yeah. It was a thing I used to do at house parties and stuff in my younger days, was get Evertonians to admit that Liverpool were the better team. You know, the better team, yeah. Much better than they were. But that they dreamt of a day when the two teams were on a level peg in a game. But all they were effectively doing was admitting that we were better than them. Yeah. That was always the only reason I ever did it. But no, I dream of a day when we're first and they're second.
Yeah.
You know, because at least it's competitive, and I want that. And don't get me wrong, derbies are horrible no matter what. They are eased by the fact that we've won a lot of them. But I've talked about this in the past. I still remember the 90s when we couldn't buy a win against Everton, yeah. for the spell, and that was just a really bad time to be in the city. So I agree with you. The problem is if you could guarantee that Everton could come straight back up the next, yeah. season, just to have them experience it,
yeah.
I think it would be funny for a year, maybe at a push, but I was speaking to Ped on Social Club this week, and he fears that if they went down, they wouldn't come back.
I don't think they would either. I think all the players would jump ship straight away, because they're already not playing for the team anyway. Yeah. So why would they stay and fight to come back up? So yeah. they've got some good quality players there. I don't think they'll struggle.
Well, it leads us quite nicely into the follow-up question. Well done, Tom. Yeah. Graham Murphy on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheRedmenTV. If you're not involved, be so. If the Ev are relegated, it means their players will be available.
Oh, yes.
Like we cherry-picked Jeannie Wijnaldum and Andy Robbo. Who would you sign in the Everton going down sale?
Centre mids. All of them.
All of this. They've got... They look, yeah. Take your pick.
Yeah, Schneiderlin, Garnagay, get them both in. Genuinely, just... Really? I'd love to have Schneiderlin. I don't think he's that good.
They hate him. They just hate him in. So much. Just to have him.
Yeah, and we need a centre mid. We need someone. We need, especially Garnagay. Apparently, he's the best midfielder in the world.
Ever seen, yeah.
So
better than Kante.
You know what I mean? So we may as well bring him in.
He's another one where last year they were all over him, and now it's like, yeah, he's not been as good.
Well, his
this
passing
year.
Stats were fantastic. Not as good as Henderson's, mine. Fantastic stats.
No, they are the two, not the two worst picks.
Really? You don't
Morgan
agree?
Schneiderlin. Are you taking the piss?
I would have had them when they got him.
They've got...
Genuinely, I would have.
That's different.
Well, now, because he's in a terrible team.
Well, now because he's contributing to them being terrible, yeah, by having maybe. No heart or fight or whatever.
Yeah, true.
If they go down, it's going to mess and these like him, and they're going to be the reason why it happens. No, for me, again, you're right, they've got quality players. I'm not sure how many of them get in the team. Like, I'd take Seamus Coleman,
yeah.
provided he comes back. I you could do worse than have Leighton Baines in your squad. Definitely. You could do worse than have Pickford in your rotation for goalkeepers.
That was my other one, Pickford.
Michael Keane's decent. He's probably a good fourth choice centre half for us. Probably slightly better than Clavan, isn't he?
This is mad, because I remember having conversations with Barry from Toffee TV last derby we had, and he said we wouldn't take any of your players. He said that to me.
It's a different time, mate.
It's the same. They have the same squad, Paul. They just realise now that they're awful and way better. It's mad.
Yeah. I would go... Tom Davies is the obvious one for me. Number one pick. And if I could only get one, he'd be the one.
It's his passion, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And look, he's homegrown. Scouser as well. Yeah. And I thought, he's an Evertonian, but so many of the best Liverpool scousers have been Evertonians down the years. You know, Jamie Carragher, Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman. I would get him in. Addition to that, I'd go for Ross Barkley. Again, no one knows what's kind of gone on with him. But I think Klopp could. I think if anyone could get something out of him, Klopp could. Mm-hmm. And there you go. You've put two more scouts in your team. You've put two scouts first teamers, exactly. And I think they would, for me, they bridge the gap, because you know the fact there's not even a gap to bridge anymore, unfortunately, because of no Gerrard. But we don't have any. You know, all the only scouts we've got are ones who are a bit too young to be properly involved in the team. So it'd be nice to have some genuine contenders in there. So yeah, I would go for that. They've got decent players. They've got a lot of decent players.
Who's the winger? I can't. He's Morales. I don't rate him highly, but he was an all right winger for a bit. Just take him so that they don't come out the championship, Paul.
You have just picked, basically...
I don't want him, I'm just saying, just take him off them.
Two of the three worst Everton players, the players that they hate the most, and the players they are blaming for the biggest lack of heart, fight and character.
Yeah, they don't care, because they've seen it all crumble around them, in my opinion. They're great players.
Kevin Morales is fucking terrible. He's fast, I'll give him that, but no, he's terrible. Let us know yours. Tweet in at the Redmen TV. Say, let's use a hashtag for it. Let's say... Ev relegation sale. Hashtag Ev relegation sale.
50% and, yeah.
Along with that half season tickets. Send them into at the Redmen TV on Twitter. And if you'd be so kind, if you want to do some more long form stuff, either in the comment section underneath this post on the website, or as always, you can email in interact@theredmentv.com. So, topic time. Mm-hmm. Tom. We've gone with the title of, and I say we, I mean me,
yeah.
The Reds Good Not Yet Great. And it was kind of picking up from a thread from Sevilla Chelsea last week that I look at Liverpool this season and I see, you know, there's something really, really good. We're doing some things we've got absolutely spot on. There's other things that are not so spot on. And they're obvious things that, you know, we're conceding too many goals still. The defence still isn't what it needs to be.
Yeah.
And I just get the sense, and going into that Chelsea game in particular, was very much the sense from me that if you get 3 points there, you're on course for you set yourself on the path for a great season.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you get there, because you can just as easily go on a run of defeats exactly. after the back of it. But, you know, for where we are right now, that puts us into the top four. But in the run up to Christmas, that's where you want to be, and you let everyone else start doing the chasing. Whereas what happened is, we are still, yet again, we did the monthly roundup show 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. and we were saying we're close to where we want to be, but we haven't taken that step forward. And I think that's where I feel we kind of are right now. This feels like a season where our objectives are not going to be met easily. They're not going to be met anytime soon. It's one of them where it feels more like a fight for fourth season than put the pressure on Man City.
I think that's where the satisfaction at the end of the season is going to come now. But I'd hate to be in a two-team league, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you'd win loads of stuff, but you're not, it's not a, there's no relief. There was palpable relief in that run into last season. Once we beat, we battle over the odds against Stoke. Me and you were there, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that galvanises the team to kind of, to just go, no, we're good enough here to get fourth. And I felt relief. I felt massive just satisfaction. I looked at the two massive teams there that didn't get in because we're better than them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing. It's not going to be easy, but that's the fun of it for me. And we're not, like you say, we're not great now, but we are good, like the title.
I mean, ultimately, all we ever really want is to be in amongst a, you know, a couple of teams or whatever that genuinely put a title challenge together. And it's hard because we've been hoping for that for 27 years at this point, 28 looming. I agree in the notion of you don't want to. It'd be nice and pressure free if there was no pressure on fourth and we just waltzed into fourth, so we could maybe put a bit more effort into Europe or put more effort into a cup run. Whereas it's a different beast, the Premier League last year and this year even more. So I think I don't think Arsenal genuinely believed they weren't going to finish in the top four.
Exactly.
So that's totally changed their mindset on things this year. And similarly, Man United, you know, they had the Europa League as their excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at it, ended up being a perfectly legitimate pathway into Europe as well, so fair play to them for that. But you're right, I wonder whether we want, as fans, we're all desperate to know what the future is, and that's where I think a lot of this is getting out of hand. We all want to know that it's going to be okay,
exactly.
don't we?
And it will be, because in my mind, we've got the right people up top, especially at manager level, managerial level, coaching level. We're not bad. We've got people in the club who just focus on the players' food. If that doesn't mean you're not a top level club, I don't know what does. You know, honestly, I know the players speak so highly of these people, because these are the little parts that are going to help these build a stable and long lasting reign, and that's what you need. You need these parts. And
you're saying we're not a top level podcast because we haven't got our own nutritionist.
Exactly.
That's what we're missing.
We need someone to just make brews specifically, like get random tea bags from other ends of the world that you've asked them for, and just perk us up.
If anyone's looking for that role, unpaid,
please
do email interact@theredmentv.com. Those kind of roles, I'm sure we could make available.
But I don't know what people want, Paul.
People want us to be Man City, Tom.
Or PSG or something like that.
But it is the thing. People want us to be competitive at the top end of the
That's
league.
That's fair play.
And you're right, and it is fair play, because I go both ways on it because I remember when we got knocked out by Benfica in the Europa League and Rafa's last season and being like, and some say, well, we're not going to win the league, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, look, we've waited X number of years. At this point, the difference between 27 years and 28 years is minimal.
Exactly.
What's more important is that you can see that we're going in the right direction, that we need to be able to get back to consistently challenging. And that's hard because that's where I feel we are. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a transitional season. I don't think it is. No. I think it's another, but it's another season of growth that we've got, which is a bitter pill to swallow. Because if you got told definitively before the season started, well, all you can do is finish fourth.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people would follow the club as ferociously as they do.
That's fair. Yeah, exactly. And look, you go to these games, you sing at the games because you want to win and you want to be the best team in England. And honest, I can't wait for the day because it will come. And whether that comes under Klopp, I genuinely don't know, but it will come. I'm 100% certain of that. I will see Liverpool win in the lifetime. And
that really upsets me that it wasn't in your lifetime.
I know. But look, we got a European Cup in my lifetime. There we go. There's a lot of people now who...
Well, the vast majority of football fans on the planet, the vast overwhelming majority, exactly, will never see their team win a European Cup.
I can't remember who I was talking to yesterday about it, but we were talking about... they were saying they support a team and they basically yo-yo up and down. And every other season, they get this massive rush because they're winning League One or whatever. Yeah. And that's the problem is... We're not mid-table, but we're not at the top. So we don't get the we have to rely on cups and that's the situation we're in. It's hard because you want to be the best. Everyone does. I'm the one of the most competitive people when it comes to football.
This is true.
No matter what football game it is, I'm competitive with it because I want to be the best. So sometimes you've got to take the fact that it's a growth season, but that doesn't mean that it's not. That doesn't mean that it's a failure. That doesn't mean that I'm sitting here right now going, next season's our season. Mm-hmm. This season's our season.
Yeah.
But it's not to necessarily win anything. Yeah. It's to grow.
It's the point. This is what it gets back to, isn't it? Is that we've done this a lot in the last, this season, definitely more so than I ever thought we would do, given how well we ultimately performed last year. But getting enjoyment out of football in where you can, and football, because football never ends.
Yeah.
Because it never ends. Even if you win, it never ends. No. You know, you get a couple of weeks off and then it starts again. And then you go straight back to the doom and gloom of what if we've lost the game? Oh, we've lost the game and our star striker's injured and blah, 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 blah. I think what I feel, I'm concerned, right, that our fans, if Liverpool won a league title, I fear for how bad our fan base would be. Now, there's a core of people who've been fans who've waited that entire, let's say it happened this season, hypothetically, who've waited that entire 28 years. And I think the vast majority of those people would genuinely be okay. But I think there's a lot of people who just want us to win a league title so they can use it to twat Arsenal fans around the head or batter Man United fans or do whatever. They don't want it for anything other than that. Whereas I think for most of us, it would be like, it's just a relief. Yeah. It just takes the edge off. It means we can get back to enjoying our football. But the thing is, I think there's a lot of people who don't enjoy. If you can't get enjoyment out of football without winning, then you're never going to truly have it when we do win because you don't win every game and you don't win a trophy every season and you don't do what. Even the best Liverpool sides, I know we had ridiculously prolific spells in the 70s and 80s, but there's still seasons when you don't win stuff, you know.
You look at the best football clubs around world football, they don't win every game. I mean, obviously Celtic are the best ever.
The Celtic are the best team in the world.
You know what I mean? Because they just do, but
Brendan Rodgers is the best manager, if only we knew.
If only, I know, if only we had players like...
Kid Deschamps from the Championship.
Colo Torre.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? They lose games and it's about it's hard because let's talk about the Chelsea game. You look at that and then you're like, what? We were talking about it before. What does that mean for the rest of the season? It doesn't matter. It's finished now. You take that on the chin and you go, right, next game, let's do it without that game. And it's hard because then you look at that and you go, when we didn't win in 13-14, yeah. and you look
well,
at the
results. Well, this is still the point of the season when it's fine. It's not fine. You know what yeah. I mean? You know what I mean? If you take my point on this, is that we've been in situations in the past where you go, you've got 10 games left and 9 and 8. And I remember 2004, 2005 was a great example of this. We were playing catch-up with Everton for fourth. Yeah. And every time like they drop points, we drop points, you'd be like, it's okay, we'll go another week. And then they'd win and we'd win. And you're like, oh, fuck. You know? Yeah. And there comes a point where you run out, you do eventually run out of the... We've still got time. Yeah. Time does eventually run out for that particular season. But you're right in that it's not, right now, it's not season defining. Yeah. Now, again, it's easy to say and look back on it, but
that's the problem.
You know, seasons are season defining. Yeah. It's very rare that one individual match or one individual moment boils it down. Yeah. We try to. People love the fact that Gerrard fallen over.
Yeah.
Was classed as like the season defining moment. It wasn't.
No.
You know, there's plenty of other moments in and around that, you know, just as equally. Gerrard scoring the penalty against Fulham in that run. If we go on and win it, people probably highlight that as the season defining moment. Yeah. But it's not. It's a culmination of points and points. You can have defining moments in cups, in cup finals, because it's down to individual performances and individual moments. Yeah. That when you don't, there's no such thing as a player's season. No. You can have a player's final, but you can't have a play. But you can't have a play as an example of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the one caveat to that is, for me in that season, it was the Colo Torre pass to Anacebe against West Brom, which ultimately let us draw the game. If we don't draw that game, we win the game. We don't need the extra points, blah, 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 blah. We win the league.
But it's just as easy. I mean, the thing is, again, there's always that recency bias. You could probably go back to a game early on in the season
and
pick any one of the points where Liverpool have dropped. Because I was just looking at it so far this season, you know, and it's made tougher because we got smashed by Spurs and we got smashed by Man City. Yeah. And I think there's a slight extenuating circumstance on the City one, but Spurs just totally outplayed us, fair enough. Far, yeah. But it's still, it's the draws that have done it, and that's why they're starting to be signs along the way, you know, on the roadmap. These are the things that start to show you the direction in which the season's going, and that's obviously Chelsea draw, two draws against Sevilla as well from winning positions, the Watford draw, the Burnley draw, and the Newcastle draw, and it's interesting that, again, these aren't terrible results in isolation, because you can look at it and go, Rafa Benitez, you know, very organised side. He's got, he knows what he's doing. Burnley have been excellent away from home. Definitely. They've been, Burnley were, if Burnley had beaten Arsenal at the weekend instead of lost late on, didn't he, to a penalty? If they'd won that game, they'd have been in the top four.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Fair play to them.
So, you know, I mean, again, in isolation, the Watford one, you know, it was those freak moments that cost us and what have you. They're the things that they start to add up.
Exactly.
The problem is, though, Tom, is that what you're seeing, and there's a great article we both read today from Paul Tompkins, who writes nothing but great articles.
He's fantastic.
If I'm honest. But he wrote one of the, obviously, a few people, and I've seen a couple of them creeping into the comments on things. We got one question coming on the Facebook, and it was, people are starting to ask the question now, if Klopp doesn't get top four, is he under pressure, or should he be sacked, or blah, blah, blah. And I twat my head off a wall with these questions, because, look, I get some people are faithless thinkers.
Yeah.
And there's very little you can do about that. That's up to individuals to sort their own heads out, kind of thing. Like, but it baffles me. But what it also has fed into, people kind of starting to question the manager. And there's, I think, a very, very small number of people. I did a video on this a couple of weeks ago on my YouTube channel, about people who were against Klopp for whatever reason, but there's people who think that this is the beginning of the end that we're starting to see, in a week where our hardest week of the season, arguably, in terms of the two biggest fixtures back to back, and I know we threw away, we could have been out of the Champions League group, and we could have been in the top four at the end of this week, but they're not. We've seen worse results already this season. You know, that Chelsea game could have been another Spurs game.
Yeah.
And the Sevilla one, you know, God, if they attacked a bit more, we could have lost that 4-3.
Yeah. I
don't want it to sound like excuse making, but
no,
I think this notion of that Liverpool are not bad, or there's a problem or whatever, it goes back to what I'm saying. We're not a great side yet. We're not Man City yet. We're not the fully finished article, but we are still a very good and a very competitive side.
That's the thing. Again, it's really hard because Stephen Howson, he said something quite poignant to me yesterday with the Chelsea draw, and he said, because I felt okay about it because, look, it's a draw against the champions, but he said, that's only a good point if you're away from home, and that stuck with me there. I was like, oh, I think he's right there. And when people say there's a problem, it's not a problem. There are many tiny little problems that will be fixed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing for me. It's not like the club as a whole are sitting there and going, there's a problem, what do we do? Or everything's on fire. It's, all right, there's that little problem. We've got that earmarked. That one's earmarked. That one's earmarked. The biggest problems are the ones that we just haven't been able to fix that we've had for like a season. The centre-back.
Yeah.
Not bringing in a centre defensive mid when we could have. Stuff like that. But again, that could be rectified in January.
Yeah.
January, we could be sat there going, right, Van Dijk's in. We've brought in a player, Goretzka, whatever. Let's just bring him in the mid. And then them two positions have been bolstered there. And the overarching thing is we can fix this and we will get better. Yeah. It's all about
And I'm not sure it's as broken as all that anyway.
No,
know?
I don't think,
you know, but what we kind of said and what Liverpool were getting good at doing prior to last week was that run of games where it was Huddersfield, West Ham, Maribor twice, whatever. We were just starting to find our groove and our rhythm of just taking teams apart without having to go, you know, absolutely flat out, you know. And if we can find that again, it's an if, because that's what footy is, unfortunately. It's not been played yet. With a run of games coming up, then I would bank us to be decent. And here's the thing, like anything, if we don't, then we absolutely don't deserve, because if you can't take a good amount of points, you can freakishly drop points here and there. It just happens again. That's the beauty of football. It's why we actually like footy so much, because let's be honest, if football didn't have that in it, you think how shit Liverpool have been in your eyes for 10 years or whatever?
Yeah.
We'd have had none. 20 years, all think of like Istanbul doesn't happen if footy doesn't have those mad results in it. You know, the UEFA Cup 2001, like the spawniest cup win ever. We sort of got, it was like an own goal, golden goal, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's all these moments that, you know, footy is what footy is. But it's encouraging that, again, it's encouraging that we're getting the good stuff, that I think the genuinely hard stuff in football, I think we know and we're getting right. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting when I see people throwing out the Brendan Rodgers comparisons, and I think people like a good stat, and they don't like stats, but they like a good, simple, easy to repeat stat that bolsters an argument. And it's this whole Rodgers win rate is higher than Jurgen Klopp's, etc. And it's as though people forget where we've come from and what we've come from. I think that people have a tendency to think that Jurgen Klopp came in at the end of 13-14 when we were and I think, you know, the team, although I think, you know, we had a decent squad, we had two problems, we had two fundamental problems that needed fixing that team. And they're the only issues in football. That was, we were shit at defending and we couldn't score goals.
Yeah.
We solved the goal scoring one.
Yeah.
Now, there was a case to be made that we could have gone, you know, maybe we should have focused on the defensive side of stuff.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But would we have been happy with that as fans?
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't have been.
And here's the thing as well, Tom, and again, it's where I think it'll tell the next couple of months. I think we'll tell why our game plan was spot on,
yeah.
Is that as much as we solved the goal scoring problem, by and large, let's not forget that the second Mané was injured last season.
Yeah.
We fell to pieces. We couldn't when we had to. We ground out the end of that season because our attacking talent dried up,
yeah.
And it was only lucky that right at the end we managed to get a little tune out of Origi and Studdards, yeah. Just enough to get us over the line.
I'd love to see 13-14 at its peak play us at our peak right now,
yeah.
Because attacking wise, yeah, we'd scored a load of goals, and that's only because the defence is so bad. And I want to know right now if our defence. I think our defence now is better than our defence was then.
Mm.
Obviously, the attack wasn't, but I think we're just getting to be a more rounded team,
you
in
know,
a sense.
You know, we're lacking for that team, and I never thought I'd have said it or would at the time, but we could just do with a Kolo Touré in our squad.
Yeah.
Just someone who's a natural born leader, yeah. Who's just dead cool under pressure, and he's a real organiser. And there will be people who laugh at that because, you know, Kolo Touré was up and down. You mentioned it earlier. You could pinpoint his mistakes in that 13-14 season as much of a reason why we didn't challenge for the title to the end as much as we did.
Yeah.
But there's games where you needed to drop someone in to go in and do a job, and his character and his, yeah. Personality is something that's sorely lacking from our team. But on the flip of that, you know, look at if you were to go head to head, I think
our fullbacks
Mo Salah would have John Flanagan on toast.
Oh yeah, think about. Would you rather have Albi Moreno or Ali Sissoko as your left back?
Yeah.
Think about that. I know he did the greatest assist ever, but he blasted it at
Suarez's
head. And that goal that he was hitting towards the far corner and it deflects in. Yeah. Fair play to the guy. But defensively, we're a lot stronger. I know it doesn't seem
that way. I'm not
sure
a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Quite accurate.
Think about the clean sheets we got in that run when we did last month.
Okay.
We got, apart from Spurs, when we got demolished, but we do professional performances and we just ground them out. I mean, I'd love it if we could consistently do that.
Yeah.
I think that's the main problem. It's consistency. Rodgers never had it. We don't have it. I think we have maybe more of a consistent run now, but like I say, I'd love to see them two teams go at it,
yeah.
Because attacking wise, they're both.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see this team go up against the team that got beat 6-1 by Stoke, and then people who've somehow started to rewrite Brendan Rodgers' managerial reign. To watch that battle, the team that got beat by Aston Villa in the FA Cup semi-final with zero fight and heart whatsoever, and put them up against this team would absolutely fucking annihilate that team, Tom, because that team was terrible.
Yeah.
And you know, again, let's not get drawn into what you know the transfer side of things and Brendan Rodgers, the hand he was dealt. Look, because ultimately, it was sly on him that Suarez had to go.
Oh, definitely.
Because I don't think any manager is going to cope well with the loss of a player of that calibre. But, my God, you know, a combination of him and the committee, you know, the perfect storm of shitness, you know, the wheels fell off massively under Brendan Rodgers. And then when he had a chance to put it right in the summer, he got the signings he wanted. He fought for it. He changed his backroom staff. Yeah. Got all that stuff. And we were still awful. Crap off the back of it. Like.
The thing I distinctly remember when Rodgers was in, what everyone said was, we need a manager who has European experience and can do it in Europe. And we need a manager who attracts players. We have that in Klopp. And Klopp's a better coach.
I walked out of the Real Madrid game at Anfield, and that was very early on. Like, that's like 2 years or 3 years ago, whatever it is now. And this is obviously Brendan Rodgers still went on another year of manager.
Yeah.
And we walked out that game having been consummately played off the park. And I think it was Ozzy said to me, he was walking back the car, he went, what do we need here? And I said, a new manager. And like, I never really vocalised that at the time because it was very knee-jerky, but it caught, I knew it was right. that, for what you're saying there, a guy with a bit more nous, a guy who doesn't, who's not doing his learning on the job. And I think that, I think this is the problem. I think that we want it all, and we want it now, and there's nothing wrong with that, because again, there's nothing wrong with having ambition.
Well, Liverpool, we should be up there as well.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with holding Liverpool up to the highest standards, because that's, if the club aren't there, that's what they should be striving for. But there's a difference between saying here's the level and being, what's the word, letting it get you down when they're not, when they're not there, because I think there's a balance to be struck.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't know what the answer is. I don't know the exact answer. I can't possibly know this, and it'll differ from person to person, of course. And you know, I can't tell people how to think or feel or whatever. But you know, there are times and places for criticism, and there's time and places to batten down the hatches and just grit your teeth and get on with it. And here's the thing. This is none of that is this time.
No.
You know, we're fine.
Yeah.
we're genuinely fine. Yeah. And I think that's one of the great points Paul makes in that article, is that, you know, it is a very, very small minority of people who are not happy with the current manager. So it always is, as I always say, there's people who don't like the Beatles. You just got to deal with some, you know, there's a minority in a lot of things,
yeah,
you know, and in terms of opinions, and some people just like having odd opinions.
You're
about to say you don't like the Beatles, aren't you?
Well, I mean, that's a separate issue.
Out.
I mean, I like some of the songs. I don't like all the songs. Let's not get into that. That's a different thing. But Klopp said something in a press conference, right? Said it after Chelsea, and it really struck a chord in me. I really wanted to bring it up on a show, so why not right now?
Yeah.
He said, there's, basically, I'm paraphrasing quite a bit, but he says, look, if you want to be happy, you've got to set yourself targets. And those targets don't need to be at the very top. But if you hit your targets, you get happier.
Yeah.
If you're happier, you're more confident. If you're more confident, you're more likely to win stuff.
Yeah.
So I think setting a target of, we need to win the league, and then when we don't do it, we're the shittest team ever.
Yeah.
If we go, right, we need to, like everyone's been saying, get out the group stages and challenge for top four and higher.
Yeah.
And if we do that, we're like, right, we're good enough to do this consistently.
Yeah.
Now let's go on and let's build something better. And for me, that's the perfect way to look at it. There's no point in being upset when...
There's no sense in throwing the baby out of the bathwater when we haven't won the title, when we don't win a title, because, you know, this season or even fucking next season, because provided we're still competitive and we're maintaining the level, that's fine. Again,
if you accept the mediocrity, Paul.
No, you know what? I'd love to, Tom, for a very brief spell. Yeah. I'd love a little, and it's not mediocrity. Mediocrity is finishing fucking 10th.
I was messing. Mediocrity.
Yeah. No, I know you're not, but there's people who won't get that.
Yeah.
But the there's nothing wrong with us being. We need to be a competitive force again, and that's the thing about it, is that it's more important that 13-14 and Leicester winning the league has fucked football. It's totally fucked our mentality, because it told us that you can go from seventh to basically winning the title, or you can go from being in a relegation battle to win the title. And Chelsea, even, you can go from 10th to winning the title. You can't. I mean, clearly you can,
because
there's now 2.5 examples of teams doing it.
Yeah.
But for the sake of argument, for the odds of it, it's not possible, so best not to think that way. And it's much better. We tried this. We keep coming. We keep having good seasons. Every time we get to second in the fucking league, we collapse and fall to bits the season after. No more of that. No good.
Yeah.
Some of that is down to that. A lot of that's down to the players and the management and the owners and all that. But a percentage of it is actually on us as well, just to keep our heads. Because, and I'm not saying people moaning on Twitter contributes to it, because it doesn't. But I mean, just that, you know, in a general sense, we do need to just be able to sit back sometimes and take stock of where we are and where we've improved.
Definitely.
And look at where we're going. Because exactly what you're saying, I don't think it's something the club would ever do. But there is definitely something. You have to read between the lines. I don't think the club are ever going to come out and say, here's our plan. Our plan is to scrape into the Champions League. It's to get fourth and get out the group and have a good domestic cup run of something. Then next season, it's about maybe getting second and trying to get to the semis or the quarters of European competition. And then the season after that, if we put a proper last day title challenge together, then so be it. And then we move on we do that every season from then on in. The problem with that is that there's just too many people, exactly what I said. It's like if you tell people that the objective is fourth,
is lower,
people's heads would fall off left, right and centre. But it's about, you're right, it's about setting attainable goals. If you go above that, great. If you slip below that, you sit down, you analyse, and you work out, did that go wrong because there's a fundamental flaw?
Yeah.
Or is there, you know, is the reasons behind it? Is there an acceptable amount to which we've fallen short of that? And even then, you decide whether you want to go again or you decide you want to rip up and start again.
Definitely. I mean, I want to know what the consensus will be from myself as well, because I don't know when we ultimately go out of the Champions League, because we'll make a fist of it. I know we will. We'll give it our best shot, but we're not going to win the thing, in my eyes. If we do, fantastic. Bring this back up and I'll be drunk, so I don't care. But when we go out of that, are we then the worst team in the world because we haven't done that? Or do we then take stock of where we were and just go, right, we weren't in the Champions League season before. This time, let's say we got to the semis, or we just missed out on getting to the semis. Is that a terrible result? Like, I obviously it depends how it happens.
The problem is, Thomas, what will happen again, the same percentage, if Liverpool go out, because if Liverpool lose a game, there has to be the inquisition, the inquest into why it's happened. There has to be an inquest. There always needs to be a little bit of take a deep breath and be level-headed and go, all right, yeah. You know, because again, if Liverpool lost the game because they conceded a late goal in a game, the inquest would have to be into why is there a defensive problem. It's not fair play to the other team for going until the 90th minute or whatever, you know, because that's ultimately where we are with football analysis at this point. So I just don't look forward to, and this is the most obvious statement any fans ever said, I don't look forward to Liverpool defeats.
No.
Obviously. Yeah. But I look forward to them. I fucking dread them at the moment, because everything has to be seen as it's good or bad.
Yeah.
Klopp good, Klopp bad. Liverpool great, Liverpool shite.
Yeah.
There's no, what if this season is a 7 out of 10 season?
Yeah.
Now, contextually, we've had very, very poor we have had very few 7 out of 10 seasons in recent years. Very, very few. You know, we've had a lot of 4s and 5s. You know, in my opinion, and we've not had a 10 out of 10 season in, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah.
This is the point that social media analysis doesn't lend itself to shades of grey very well, unfortunately. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with being angry and wound up about these things, but there's also nothing wrong just as equally with going, ah, shit, okay, well, listen, there's nothing we can do about that. That's done, that's gone. What am I going to do? What am I going to do about it? Well, you know what? I'm going to take up crochet for a day or two. I'm going to do a little bit of knitting just to keep my mind off it. And then I'm going to trust that the players and the manager are going to get it right in the next
game. Thing is, with when people are negative, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem talking to someone with a different opinion. Sometimes I'm overly positive. I'm too positive. Sometimes they're overly negative. And I enjoy having a conversation with someone who disagrees with me, because you sit there, you get their opinion. You may not agree with it, or you'll take parts of that and then you form your own argument.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Like, no matter in whatever, I enjoy having those conversations. And as long as there's constructive bits in there, if it's literally just Henderson shit, Moreno shit, and everything, and Klopp gets his tactics wrong every game, that doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
All I want you to go, Henderson shit because he didn't do this in the game. Moreno fucked up 3 or 4 times here, Klopp could have done this.
Yeah.
Sound, and there's then no, I can take that and go.
There's no debate in these things, is there? And there's no give or take. And that's what happened. You know, this has always happened in football. This has always happened. It always just happened in pubs. Yeah. And I've said this in the past. There was always one fella in six who was the guy who you couldn't have a debate with because he was like, no, he's shit. And he's not. He doesn't care enough.
Yeah.
He doesn't care enough about the player
to be
proved wrong. He doesn't care. He actually doesn't care if he's wrong.
No.
He's got his opinion, and he's set his opinion, and it doesn't. He's got bigger and more important things to do with his life than spend time dedicated. And fair play to him. Like, but you know, again, I've had it over the years. I think, well, how many players have we actually ended up loving? Luis Garcia is always the perfect example. And I've got a picture of the exact guy I'm thinking of in my head. And he was a little knobhead, like, absolute knobhead. And he hated Luis Garcia. And I understood it because that, you know, he polarised people. Yeah. He frustrated the life out of us. But, you know, he had no time and no credit for him. And he never came round after Juventus and said, I'll tell you what, I was wrong about him. What a player. Yeah. Just stop talking about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stop talking about him. And when you've been defending someone and that, against someone and they blindly go, no, he should, and then they have a game and you go, what about that? And they go, yeah. Well, he was shit for all these other games. Oh, my God. Exactly. Could we not just say, oh, yeah.
There was a fella in the main stand when I went there, and I might have said it on the last podcast, but I'm going to say it again because you've just brought it up. And I wouldn't say despise, but I just genuinely really dislike this man. And all he did all game is give Liverpool shit. It was when we beat Maribor at home, constantly giving us shit, giving us shit, giving us shit. First half, we're the worst team, Emre Can, what are you doing? Oh, you're the worst. And then Emre Can scores and he stops. I couldn't hear him anymore. For 60 minutes, he went on saying Liverpool are the worst team. Any misplaced pass, any time it went backwards, sideways, we're the worst team. We don't have attacking intent when Maribor were playing 9 men, 10 men behind the ball. And that's the problem for me, is I would hate to have a conversation with him, whoever he is. If you're listening, straighten us. I would hate having a conversation with him because he's exactly that. He'll stop talking about it and you'll go, what about that? And he'll go, don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Yeah.
Do not know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, we have that. I have this with my dad periodically. His brother is very like that. In like, again, he said, I had a massive argument with your uncle. He said to him about Moreno. He said, Moreno's the worst ever. And he went, thought he was quite good. Oh, no, he's terrible. He's the worst Liverpool left back there's ever been. And it's the point is that, and look, and this is, I'm not a specific person here. I'm not saying everyone who hates a particular player is like this, but he is also the kind of person who, I love my uncle, but he's also the kind of person that he reads the paper while he's watching the match.
Yeah.
And he gets up and potters around the kitchen for a bit during the game.
Yeah.
And, he gave up his season ticket. You give yourself a season ticket, you know what I mean?
Because
He was getting caught comps and then he didn't have it. Anyway, it's a long difference. But he has his opinion and he's cool with having his opinion. And some people are, we're all like that in certain walks of life.
Yeah.
We all have certain entrenched opinions. I think you should have them at your core, but for things like, for trivial matters, ultimately, like sport and stuff, I don't see it does any harm to be able to go. Let's use Henderson as an example. Loads of people asking us to talk about Henderson. We've talked a lot about Henderson in recent weeks, and I there's just a lot of people who just don't like him. And I do, but I'm equally starting to see, I've never thought he was the perfect answer for us, but I've also started to see some. I can see when he's had a poor performance.
Yeah.
I'm not so blindly pro Jordan Henderson that I'm like, no, he's not, he's fucking Pirlo.
Really?
Yeah, Jordan Henderson's Pirlo, Tom. And I've always
clip that. He said it once and for
I've
all.
I've always said Jordan Henderson was the best defensive midfielder. I've never said that. Never once have I said that. But what I will do is when a player performs well or does something well say in a game, I'll say that. Because ultimately, if I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I'd just not talk about it.
Yeah.
But if my job is to talk about the game and is to talk about the things that happen in football matches, I will talk about the things that happen good, because you could literally win a you could win a game 5-0.
Yeah.
They could not have a shot on target. But if you wanted to, you could go through that game and highlight every misplaced pass.
And you should.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're a fucking data analyst for a football club.
Yeah.
You know, but you could find a 60-minute show in a 5-0 win that does nothing but pick up all the mistakes. Because my God, Rafa Benitez used to do that.
Yeah.
He used to come on the pitch and say, congratulations, well, you've won 5-0, who cares? You missed that tackle, you missed play. You know, the thing is, you could do this until the cows come.
Jürgen Klopp and his team will be doing that. That's the best part about it. Is they're not sitting there and going, oh, Henderson, everyone's saying he's had a bad game. They know he's had a bad game because they're watching the game.
Yeah.
It's their jobs to go, how do we improve this player? And they will go up to him and go, you need to improve because you need to do this.
And the thing is, it's one of them, isn't it? The things we'll never know. And there's always going to be mitigating circumstances to it, but it's always the stuff we never see.
Yeah.
It's always the stuff it's the stuff in training. It's the response of the player. The fact is, playing that 90 minutes of football is, as far as their working hours go, it's a fraction of what they actually do and what the manager sees of them in the preparation and stuff. And I don't know. This is not a defence of Jordan Henderson's recent performances, by the way, because they've been terrible.
Yeah,
they've been terrible. But it is inevitable.
But he's not the worst player in the world off the back of him.
Well, no, he's not exactly. And, but it is. It's one of them. I think we love it, don't we? And we love a skate.
It's an easy conversation starter. Yeah. Having something to bitch about is the easiest way to start a conversation with someone than it is to be that weirdo who comes up to someone, sidles up to someone and goes like, you seen how good Jordan Henderson's been lately? What?
Yeah.
Mate, it's cold and I'm wet. Can you not talk about how shit the weather is? You know what I mean? Oh, the weather's shit. Isn't the weather shit? Yeah. Oh, no, tell me about it. Conversation. Exactly. There you go. You're a weirdo if you come up to people and try to start random positive conversations. But if you want to highlight something that people mutually understand to be bad, then great. No problem. Brexit, this government.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Again, the weather. Isn't it cold? Isn't it wet?
Yeah.
Aren't cans of Coke really expensive these
days? First thing I do when I get into a cab is, you're red or a blue. If they say red, then all right, you talk about footy. If you say blue, they won't stop talking because they have so much to talk about now. There you go.
But that's it. Like I say, on the Henderson thing and all that, I don't mind people thinking he's bad or whatever. But it's like you said, that thing of people go on the game and just like, who are you talking to? You know, whose benefit is it for to sit there and go, yeah, he's shit. He's this and that. Just shut your face, man.
You know what I mean?
I genuinely see no benefit to it. This is a whole rabbit hole we're getting down here. I've got no problem with everyone going, oh, when someone does something shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is uncontrollable. Yeah, that is a reflex reaction to being disappointed in a situation where you're being noisy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You probably wouldn't make that noise at home on your own.
Yeah.
Or maybe you would, you know.
No, yeah, but,
if I drop my cereal on the floor and I don't go, oh, like that, I go,
fuck.
Shit. You know what I mean?
Well, I'd love for after the game, everyone to get a sheet of everything they've said. You know what I mean? In mine,
I'd like to retract that. I got that totally wrong.
But genuinely, because if I mean, I might be completely wrong. Whoever gets their eardrums burst next to me, they will tell you otherwise. But I'll sing for the team. The phrase I say the most is "unlucky lads" or "let's fucking go."
Yeah.
And because I want to G up not just the players.
You know what?
The players can't hear me. Yeah. The people around.
You know what Twitter lacks? And social media and that lacks is that what you do with the match is you go, fuck's sake, Henderson, fucking pass the ball. And then you go, all right, Sam, good effort, lad. Yeah. Twitter doesn't have the follow-up. All right, come on, never mind. G up, lads.
It's when I'm at a game, I'm there literally to support the team. But you're working in tandem with so many other people.
Yeah,
when someone sings, you sing with them. Because that means when you start a song, someone else is going to start a song. It's when, all right, the move breaks down at the end of it. That doesn't mean you go, that's the shittest move. You go, nice idea. Let's go.
Is the expression? Because I keep coming back to it. Nobody deliberately misplaces a pass on a football pitch.
Exactly.
And again, what is the worst shout in football? It is, hit the target. Hit the target. You put your shot over the bar, hit the target. Yeah. Oh, like, gets up, walks over to the crowd.
Yeah.
Is that what I was supposed to do in that situation?
I thought your head was the target, mate.
Oh, my God. We've tangented spectacularly at all.
So what's the topic?
But the topic was good, not yet great. I hope to be vindicated.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's not my fault if I'm wrong. But we've got a big run of games coming up here. A big run of winnable games. And as I say, I think that, you know, a perfect world scenario, we should have fixed the defence. And I think I think efforts were made. Let's not get back into this again. The point of the matter is the key signing of the summer.
Yeah.
The signing that we were desperate to get across the line. The one that was the one we wanted to get done and boxed off first was Mo Salah.
Yeah.
And you can see why. Because not only has he just been amazing, but the depth that he has helped to provide to this team as well. And that's what we were lacking. It's all well and good saying, you know, we needed to sort the defence. We were a very good attacking team that had, a less than great defence. You can try and fix the defence, and if you lose the goal scoring, yeah, you know, you might still grind stuff out, but, you know, the core strength of this and the core strength of what the manager's modus operandi and what he always said when he joined Liverpool was about creating a brand of football to get us all on side.
Exactly.
And I still fail to think that, I fail to believe for a single second that we would get behind a brand of defensive football first because, and Chris and I said this a few weeks ago, there were people who fucking hated Rafa Benitez. Hated Rafa Benitez. Yeah. We went top, we drew with West Ham, went top of the league, and there were boos at Anfield. Seriously, you know what I mean? Because we had, you know, and this is what it is.
Yeah.
But as long as we're still seeing goals, I think goals cover over a multitude of sins. And yeah, if we, hopefully, the depth that we've got in the attacking part of the pitch is the thing that we've got right. Hopefully what we'll see is the manager's given time, we can see he progresses enough this season that it keeps the pressure off him.
Yeah.
You know, we do need to get into the top four. We do need to get out of the Champions League group. And I say, anything above and beyond that is, like, it's not, again, it's not dancing in the streets good, yeah, but it's incrementally better, exactly, until you win a piece of silverware at the end of
and,
it.
And I have faith that he's the man to do it. I always have done. And until he shows me otherwise, I'll stick behind the man.
Absolutely.
And I'll stick behind the team.
And until then, go back and watch Liverpool 6-1 defeat to Stoke.
Watch us watching it.
Watch
it.
Oh, my God. Did that even start? I think we might have taken that off the
no,
internet.
No, I'm pretty sure it's
still
on
up there.
It should
wow
be.
It yeah shouldn't be. Oh, my God. Right. Okay, brilliant. Thanks. Let's move on to some more of your questions this week then. Rishab Singh, oh, your beauty at... on that is at. if I'm not just saying he's a beauty. If you had to appoint a Liverpool manager from among the teams outside the current top eight and Newcastle, bastard, who would you pick?
That's the one, isn't it? It would have been Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, straight away, manager outside the top. I was like, defo Rafa. In fact, I'm gonna get the league table up here so we can just make sure I'm getting things on the fringe because it kind of, it writes off a couple of managers, the top eight
does
thing.
It writes off Sean Dyche, doesn't it?
It writes off Sean Dyche just about, I think.
Yeah, I think he's there.
Let me
So I've got three here. It's Eddie Howe, Sean Dyche and Slaven Bilic. Slaven Bilic was a weird one.
What the fuck? Slaven Bilic is sacked, mate.
Well, he was anyway, so I'll just keep him in there because I like the cut of his jib.
To your point.
I don't want him in, but top
six managers are as follows. Top eight, sorry, are Pep, Mourinho, Conte, Wenger, Pochettino, Klopp, Dyche and Silva. So the rest are Chris Hughton, the former of Pellegrini. Pellegrini. Maurizio Pellegrino. Oh. No, what's it called? Pellegrino?
Yeah.
Pellegrino. Oh, fucking hell. Shows how what a legend he was.
Yeah.
I know what the answer is.
Go on.
David Wagner.
Okay, fair enough.
But next, Claude Puel, Eddie Howe, not Rafa
man.
Benitez, Mark Hughes, no one at Everton. No one at West Brom. Have West Brom hired anyone yet? They're supposed to be getting Pardew. David Moyes at West Ham. Neil Clement or Paul Clement?
Paul Clement.
Paul Clement, get that wrong every time as well. Or Roy Hodgson.
Oh, it's Eddie Howe all day.
It's David Wagner all day.
To be fair, actually, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
Because he plays he just walks straight in.
Yeah.
Sorted. He looks sort of similar, kind of.
Yeah, he wears glasses, Tom. That's a bit like a glassesist.
No, I'll be honest, I don't watch much football other than Liverpool,
yeah,
and maybe the odd Everton game just to see how bad they are. But I've seen Bournemouth have been okay. They've been pretty solid. So.
Bournemouth have not been good. I mean, they're okay. They're 13th in the league.
For what they are.
They're 4 points above the relegation zone. Si, who was your shout?
Did I have a shout?
I'm asking you for a shout.
Are you just asking me?
Fair enough.
Like this, he's correct from
they
Simon.
They have the right answers.
Yeah,
I do not.
Okay, Sad. So that's a good question. Thank you very much for that, Rishab. Do let us know yours by tweeting at the Redman TV.
I'm sure Nathan, you're a beauty as well, Paul. Just didn't want to say.
Absolutely. Nathan at @code_passion. Do you think we could be better defensively by switching to a back three? We have the wing backs for it, no doubt about it. Maybe we don't have the number of centre backs to do it just yet. If we buy one in the January window, would it be a viable option? My immediate reaction to this is, like, I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I think potentially, but we already don't have enough centre halves for two at the back, or enough good enough centre halves. I think it's the position where we've got the least talent as well. I don't see that putting more less talented players in the team is necessarily the answer.
I could see it. I wouldn't mind a back five with the players we have now, with Trent on the right, Gomez, right centre back. Lovren in the centre just to be the destroyer. I don't give him any passing responsibility. Matip on the left hand side and then Moreno. I could see that, and all right, fair enough. We've got very attacking wingers, mm-hmm. wing backs. I think a back five would just take too much away from our attacking the midfield.
Well, this
and
is the thing about the rest of the positions. I think in a year or two ago, you know, when we were trying to find a way to get Origi and Sturridge into the team, when we were totally behind that as an idea, it makes sense because you can play two up top when you play three at the back. But given that our two best players are wingers, you're forcing them to play more central. And look, Salah and Mane can do that. If it meant maybe it's a Salah Mane forward line with like Firmino in behind or something.
That's kind of what it is, maybe sort of now.
But it's, I think it maybe undoes a little bit of what we do at the top too much.
Yeah.
And there's probably more an easier fix. This is more, it's more 4-2-3-1 than it is a back
and
five.
And the weird thing is we kind of fall into that when we play a back four anyway. So when Moreno bombs on, Gomez doesn't, and we kind of slot into that three sort of.
Yeah.
So I think we do that in game anyway. There's a lot when people talk about these, like, because there's an attacking formation, a defensive formation, and that's a big struggle for us. Is our defensive formation is pretty dire. You saw it against Chelsea, we're just too deep. There's times when you look at teams who are well drilled defensively. So when we come up against a low block side, and as soon as they lose the ball, bang, rigid. Right where they should be, no mistakes. When we lose the ball because we're so front foot, we just seem to not have that. There seems to be a gaps in the midfield there, and I don't think a back three would solve that. That's just a coaching thing. That's a team thing, and maybe even a personal thing.
I think the thing is, it leaves. I think Moreno sounds in, on paper like a great wing back, and similarly Trent. But I think where we found some stability is by limiting their attacking intent a little bit. And I know you're technically putting an extra centre out, so you've got another body in there, but I just feel like it leaves us open to being exploited on the flanks a bit too much, because you're making their starting position, unless you're in a flat back five, which is mental for a team that wants to be have attacking intent. I fear that we would come unstuck against teams that play like we play now, you know, with proper wingers.
Was the last time we played a back five Stoke 2-1? Because we came out that game as a back five, didn't we?
We finished the game against Chelsea, didn't we? I think it's one of those formations we've gone to a couple of times to try and change a game or whatever. I still don't feel it. I don't think it works,
especially the reliance we have on our midfield. When our midfield's weak, making it weaker does not help.
It's one of those. I get like Spurs seem to have two formations, and I think it works for them, you know, so that they can go a bit like, right, we're playing three at the back because this will suit us in this particular environment. I'm not saying no, by the way, Nathan, I think we need two more centre halves if we're going to do that.
Oh, easily.
Fast and very good in the air, I think.
And
just,
ball playing as well.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting one. Lashlan_right1, and this is we throw these type of questions normally at the start of the podcast, but this one is just so horrible that I didn't want to put it up top for fear that it would turn new listeners off. So I apologise in advance if you've gotten through all this is your first time and you're like, oh, that was a quite reasonable Liverpool related podcast. And then Lashlan asked, would you rather smell like shit and not know it, but everyone else does, or constantly smell shit that no one else can forever?
So I'm guessing he means, or constantly smell like shit that no one else can.
No, constantly smell.
Oh, that's changed
so
my
you've
whole...
got to you can smell nothing but shit for the rest of your life.
No, that's changed my whole thinking on it. Because I was going to say second one without question.
I still think it's the second one.
It is second one,
because you're just going to live... If you smell like shit, you're going to... It takes a brave person to want to be in your presence.
It'll be like...
However, that technically would be me and you, because we've both... gone with the option where we could smell, we'd be happy to smell shit forever.
Yeah.
So so maybe it's not such a lonely existence, because if people like us are prepared to be able to smell shit every day, forever and ever,
that's true.
Then maybe someone who smells like shit can find love too.
But if it was the first one, you'd have to find loads of mates who can't smell. Which is possible.
You just have to, when the sleep, just break a lot of noses.
You know what I mean?
And hope that it damages the septums enough that they lose the tensive.
And then they'll wake up and you'll be like, look, it's just because I want to be your friend.
Maybe on like, and on then like, you'll have no mates. Like those dating websites, there's like, because I'm told they're getting more and more complex in how you can like narrow down your matches, and it can just be, has no sense of smell.
Yeah,
could be a tick box. So you get matched up with someone who's got no sense of smell and then bonzer.
And
but then
feel-
they'd be like, why does no one want to be near me new fella all bed?
Exactly. And then, well, I guess you'd have to tell them. The first, like, second date, you'd have to go.
You've got no sense of smell. Listen, just in the interest of clarity,
yeah.
I smell like shit.
I smell like shit. You can't smell it, so it's fine. But everyone else can, so is just
that,
be aware.
Is that the equivalent of going out on someone with a date with someone who's blind and saying, I'm really, really ugly?
Yeah, probably. But then...
Just in the interest of full disclosure, I am hideous. I am genuinely hideous. I just want you to know that.
Surely they'd know when they first touched your face.
Apparently, Ray Charles, when he used to shake hands with people, with women, he'd hold on to the hand as well. So I'm gonna do. It's gonna be weird, but he'd go like this because he could tell whether they were fat or not.
Really.
But
at least he has.
You blind me.
Man's got a priority. What's it matter? He's like. I don't
know. Another beauty's not just skin deep, even for some of the greatest musicians of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second one all day, just purely because I don't want to. I don't want people to not be around me, and I think I could put up with it at the end of the day.
You're taking a hit for the people around you,
yeah,
and for your own being in company.
Your brain will block it out after a while anyway. And do you really smell that much anyway? I mean,
who smells these days?
I mean, it'd help with you. To be fair though, you taste shit all the time as well because your smells link with your taste.
That's a good point.
So you would literally taste, everything would taste of shit.
Sigh?
I've just thought of that one before you said it.
Yeah.
Sigh is a big thing.
I think it's still the second one.
Size, yeah.
Again, you get used to it.
You think it's no one ever wins with these questions.
Size said he picks the second one, he'd get used to it, which, yeah.
Finger size, legs.
Yeah.
sorry, reference from about 3 weeks ago. Brilliant. There you go. If you disagree with anything we've said, keep it to yourselves. Not really. No. As always, please do, if you can, leave a 5-star review on iTunes or any other podcasting style place that you listen to this. Much appreciated. If you want to watch the video version is the best version. It's on the redmentv.com. If you want more great podcasts from Red Men Radio, you know, we're doing some amazing stuff. We're doing the instant match reaction after every single match. That's like literally within like an hour or 2 hours of the game finishing. That goes up on the website. The final word is a 60-minute breakdown with a little bit more coolness and composure. The Reds news roundup as well, and a whole host of extra bonus features. We've got tons of interviews coming out soon. We've got the full interview with it's Gomez and it's Roberto Firmino's there with Joel Matip. There's Kenny Dalglish. There's a whole host of amazing people. They're all going up on the website soon, and of course the Lucas Leiva thing as well. So if you want more stuff, please do get involved. It helps make all of this possible. The Red Men supporters are the best
and all the Christmas stuff that's going to be coming out around Christmas for all the subscribers. There's going to be loads of special stuff,
so yeah, we do a Christmas special every Christmas day, which is a load of like unseen stuff and outtakes and stuff like you. In years gone by, it's me being it in the head with things falling off the set and stuff. But yeah, absolute belt. Some great specials coming up and perfect time to jump on board. The most exciting month, I think, actually, in Red Men TV we've had in a long while. So perfect time to jump on board. Free month, £5 a month after that. So do get involved. TheRedMenTV.com/, I think it's /join. If not, just go there and click sign up. Thanks. Thanks, Tom.
No problem.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome.
Wasn't expecting me to talk to him there. Good work, so I can react quickly. Thank you for listening. Walker.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.